1 Samuel chapter number 17 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We're in a very familiar area of Scripture. We are one of the favorite Bible characters, and really Bible stories of the Old Testament. I mean, who doesn't know about David and Goliath, right? David and Goliath have been a part of my life since before I could really even speak clearly. And I remember the stories, listened to the stories coming up, and it was always a wonderful story, and it still is. But it's a story of what God can do. It's not a story of what David did. It's a story of what God did through David. And we need to remember that. This story illustrates, really, looks like a flesh and blood battle, but it's a spiritual battle that's going on. The Philistines hate Israel, and they are wanting to defeat Israel. Israel is God's people, though, and God is their defender. And the Lord has a plan for them. And we see that it looked like to be a battle between Goliath and David, but really it's a battle of light and darkness between God and Satan. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It looks like flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I believe that this story is just that. Last week we saw that God gives us jobs that may seem small to prepare us to take on a very big and important task. And we saw that in the life of David. And during these periods of small undertakings, the Lord builds our faith that will carry us through the days of some very large challenges. And David's experiences as a shepherd boy and as a shepherd young man. And this place of Scripture that we see here, I don't believe that David really is a boy. I think he's a young man. A lot of times he's depicted as being a boy at this point, but I think he had very much grown up. He had faced many things that that some adults had not faced. I mean, he was learning how to shepherd sheep. God was using the experience of shepherding his father's sheep and the experiences that he had out there to help him be able to shepherd God's people. We'll read this as we go along. First of all, tonight we see the battleground. I want you to picture the scene here. Look at chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse number 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shekoah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shekoah and Azekah in Ephes-de-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." You might could say that these two armies were at a stalemate position. They were arrayed for the battle. They had set up. You got a vast canyon enclosed by mountains on both sides. Philistines are on one side, the Israelites on the other side, but nobody's attacking right now. The Philistines weren't attacking Israel. Israel wasn't attacking the Philistines. It was just kind of a showdown and see who was going to blink first. And, of course, the Philistines had this giant, and we're going to see him next, the champion of the enemy. Just imagine for a moment the dimensions that are given to us They translate into about maybe 9 feet 9 inches tall, at least 9.5 feet tall. When you talk about cubits, are about in 18 inches on the average, and then a span is what you can spread your hand out to, and I did mine on the ruler. You can do 9 inches there, and so it's about half of a cubit. And so 9.5 feet or 9 feet 9 inches, the way in my computation. Notice verse number 4. So there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Like I said, the cubit is 18 inches, and the span is the spread of the hand. Mine was 9 inches. That's 9 inches right there. So you're looking at about 6.5 cubits there. And he said he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Now, when you're talking about mail there, you're talking about, looked like fish scales, but it was brass, okay? Now, you're talking about this guy was not only huge, but he appeared to be impenetrable with all the 9.5 feet of him armored and weaponed to the hilt. There, verse number 7, look at what it says about his staff. It says, his staff of his spear, that's just the, not including the point of it. It's a part, the staff is the part you hold. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So he didn't even have to carry his own shield. Somebody else carrying that for him. But what a sight this must have been. I mean, you know, when somebody tall walks into the room, the attention goes there, right? And I remember some folks in my lifetime, I remember one particular preacher that would come to our church and preach Bible conferences. He was from Florida, and Brother Cameron, I mean, he was a tall dude, and he was very commanding in that pulpit and had a deep voice. You know, and he just all he had to do was just stand up there, and you knew he was a man of authority. And well, here we have Goliath, the Philistine hero. No small man, and he's got the people of Israel really shaking in their boots. He gave a challenge. He's not only intimidating with his words, and notice verse number 8. It says, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. Now this is talking about Goliath. Goliath is standing, and he's yelling out over to Israel, and he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. In other words, rather than two armies getting into the battle and getting into the fray, you know, why are y'all raiding the battle against us? Why don't we just settle this man-o-man-o, you know, man-o-man? And that's what he's wanting to do. Well, I'm sure they were probably looking around, and Saul was probably the tallest man they had, but he was no match for this Goliath. And notice verse number 9. He says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Well, who wants in on that? Anybody? No, I didn't think so. But he gave this challenge in verse number 10. He says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Yeah, he's wanting to make a man-on-man match out of it. And we see the response of Israel, verse number 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You think? I think so. Now, we see that he gave this challenge not just once, but twice a day he would come out and do this. And he did this, according to verse number 16, he'd come out and do it twice a day for 40 days. For 40 days. They were in a stalemate position. Israel on one side, Philistines on the other, and you got Goliath trying to get them to send a man out. We see verse number 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. So you got the 3 eldest have joined the army, Saul's army, and they're there on the battlefield. And we know David was the youngest, verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now remember, we saw last week how David had come in there, and he was summoned to play an instrument to soothe Saul when he got into a bad mood, that evil spirit would cause him problems. Well, he'd listen to the music that David would play, and it would help him feel better. But not only that, he was, at the time that he was doing that, he was also Saul's armor bearer. Just like Goliath had an armor bearer, he had a shield bearer, but David had been the armor bearer to Saul. But I guess before this transpired here, maybe things got real quiet, and he said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to go check on my daddy's sheep." He went back and checked on his daddy's sheep to feed his father's sheep. And no longer, I don't know whether Saul had stopped having these fits that he was having, the bad, evil spirit. But nevertheless, David at some point returned back to feeding the sheep. Verse 16 says there, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." You know, when you got somebody fighting, away from home fighting, you kind of wonder how they are, don't you? You like to hear some words. How are they getting along out there? And so Jesse was that way, wanted to get some news, and he was going to use David to find out the news. Verse 19, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." Wasn't much fighting going on, though, was it? We should say stalemating with the Philistines. "David rose up early in the morning," verse 20 there, "and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle." I guess they would get up every morning and they'd start making a bunch of noise at one another. Wasn't much fight in that, though, was it? Because nobody has really done any much fighting at all here at this point. It's really just a stalemate. They're going back and forth with the words. It's a battle of words right now. In verse 21, "For Israel and the Philistines have put the battle in array." In other words, they just set up to fight. It says they put the battle in array. Everything's in place. How they determined they wanted it whenever the fight would take place. But they put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. In other words, just another day in paradise, right? Here he was just saying, coming out and saying the same thing. David heard this time, though. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I mean, here comes Goliath out to shout at him again. And you see him hunkering down to the back, as far back as they could get in, away from him. You wonder how that works, you know. Who's on the front? Because everybody trying to get behind whoever's in front. It was a battle to see who could get as far away as they could from this great champion of the Philistines. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and will make his father's house free in Israel. So here they are talking to David about this thing. You know what's going on? And of course, David didn't know what was going on. All he heard was what this Goliath had said, and it kind of upset him a little bit. Here, God's people doesn't really care about what's going on. I mean, David had been anointed by Samuel to be king, but young man, he didn't show any signs of arrogance or impatience. You know, he's waiting his turn. It would have been very easy for him to become proud of that divine appointment that God had given him, but David didn't do that. He'd gone back to tending his sheep and ran errands before he ever became the champion of the battle. And here he comes out just to check on his brothers, and he arrives at the battlefront just as this giant comes out to mock and rebuke the armies of God again. And the troops were struck with fear, but David was smitten with concern. You know, they're full of fear. He's full of concern. David, I think, was primarily concerned about the reputation of God. These were God's people. Where's the God of Israel in all of this? Hey, folks, you're the people of God. You're God's people, and where's God at in this? I think that was his attitude. He's concerned about the reputation of God and of God's people. David was concerned that an ungodly man like Goliath could get away with public defiance of God. He was concerned that no one in all the armies of Israel had the courage enough to stand up against Goliath. Let's read on. Look at verse 26. David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done? He's kind of like, what did I hear? What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? He couldn't quite get his ears tuned to what he had just heard. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. In other words, they repeat the same thing back to David. You know, you did hear it right. This is what's going to happen if whoever can kill this giant. And then Big Brother, David's big brother, had to get his 2 cents worth in. He thinks that the little brother has just come he just wanted to see the battle, see what was happening. Look at verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep? He's trying to minimize David. Who you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Yeah, big brother always knows, don't he? No, he don't. But here I like verse 29. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" You know, he's trying to get a big brother that's, like, "Hey, I don't see you stepping up to the battle. Isn't there a cause here?" And verse 30, "He turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner." In other words, he's going around saying, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Yeah, he's going around, and Israel's clueless. You know, these warriors of, supposed to be the warriors of God, the armies of the living God, don't see the cause, do they? Verse 30. Let's see, verse 31. "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him." So Saul's caught wind that David's going around there saying, "Isn't there a cause here that we ought to be fighting for?" He said, "Well, send the boy here." So he sent him, sent for David. They knew one another. Used to be his armor bearer. David used to be Saul's armor bearer. And there, verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now this is exactly what Goliath's been asking for. "Give me somebody that'll come out and fight me. Mano to mano. You know, and whoever wins, you know, the winner take all. Winner take all." And so we see in verse 33, "Oh, brave Saul here." "Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." He was a young man. "Said he, a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And here we see that David had had some preparation for this point. I mean, he was really no match for a lion. He wasn't much match for a bear either. But the Lord had helped him to overcome both. And it appears from the way the story is told here that I think a lion was carrying the lamb off, and while he was fighting the lion, the bear came up, tried to take the same lamb, and he had to fight off the lion first and then the bear, because it talks about them in the same vernacular there. They were like it's one event. And of course he said in verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He had confidence. Confidence in self? No. Where was his confidence at? In God, in his Lord. "And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee." Oh, what a brave man. Letting a young man fight his battles. He's much bigger, much more experienced. He's got the armor and all that, but the thing that Saul lacks is God being on his side. Hey, we done seen that. God's done pulled off of Saul, and I think Saul knew that and knew better than to go against Goliath. And so, verse 38. Here we see that Saul tries to help David out. Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail. Can you see? I mean, it's all weighting this young man down. He's not used to having all this on. In fact, that's what he says here in just a minute. Verse 39, "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he has essayed to go." He tried to go. He had not proved it. He was questioning. He's saying, "I can't go with this. You know, I've not proved this stuff. I've not had any experience trying to fight and all this stuff." That's basically what he was saying here. David said unto Saul there in verse 30, middle of verse 30, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off again. He just takes it all off. He took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, I've heard a preacher one time say the reason with 5 stones is because Goliath had 4 brothers. So, you know, he was going to take care of the brothers too if he had to. They were all giants. And but I don't know. We just told that he picked up 5 smooth stones. Maybe he was going to go to the lake and skip the others in celebration of when he brought Goliath down. That's what I kind of figure. You know, he's going to go have a celebration. You ever skip stones? That's a fun thing to do, isn't it? Yeah. If you're a guy, it is, anyway. But verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy. That means he's red. That's what the word ruddy means. And a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now he just lays it out straight, doesn't he? You know, but you think this is a flesh and blood battle? But hey, God's the one that's going to get you. And that's what I get out of that. and that was the case. Look at verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, to the wild beast of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Again, David didn't point to himself. David didn't point to anything but God. He didn't point to his Lord, who is the champion of the Israelites. I mean, Goliath is the champion of the Philistines, but God is the champion of the Israelites. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for it, and it, the battle is the Lord's. There it is right there. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. There he goes down. That stone sunk in his forehead, and he falls to his face. And it says in verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So much for the battle, right? Well, verse 52, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, about time, right? It's about time that they did something. And pursued the Philistines till thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, and even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou, young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. So it calls him a young man right there. And so we see this confrontation, but the battle was the Lord's. Amen. He won a victory, but as the victory was really the Lord's victory. He was outgunned, you might say. Yeah, big spear versus a sling with a rock in it. But when you got God on your side, what more do you need? You know, he had the Lord. David came one step closer to the throne here through his victory over Goliath. He became a national hero. And we see also from this lesson that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, is it? The victory goes to the one who trusts in and waits upon the Lord. And we see that very thing here. All right, we'll cut off there. We'll pray for the needs on our prayer list. Next, we'll see the relationship between David and Jonathan. Jonathan's the son of Saul, and they develop a friendship. Even though Saul tried to kill David, Jonathan tried to protect David and helped David to escape. And we'll take a look at that. All right? Let's pull the prayer list out. Let's pray for the needs. We'll be dismissed.